Blog Talk Radio.
There is a watchman on the wall, bringing forth the written word of God to one and all. Are you getting ready? Will you stand or will you fall? Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the
Rise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. A new day has dawned. All over the earth, men and women are arising. It's time for the sons of God to awake. It is a day of justice, recompense, restoration, revival, and resurrection power.
Ladies and gentlemen, Vincent Xavier, pastor of New Wine Ministries. Great to be with you today. Trust everything is going well in your world. A lot going on in the world today. Obviously, we have a United Nations gathering just any moment now. The president of the United States, Donald J. Trump, will be addressing the UN Assembly, talking about the possibility of spanking Iran. We all wonder where that's going. A lot of protests going on. And again, the president of the United States, we're just going to come out right now and just say, man, I just love the idea that that man is getting so born again. That's what we believe, that the Spirit of God is coming upon that man for God's own purposes, whatever they may be. And we just love the moxie, I guess, you know, this polished politician type of thing that we've seen for such a long time in this country, which we've ignored for the first part of our lives. And now we seem to be a bit more interested. We have a man that is somewhat of a reformer. I mean, he's just not afraid to deal with North Korea or deal with Iran or deal with Russia or deal with China. And we'll see where it all goes. But before we do that, and I know we're all going to, I wish I knew how to actually, you know, show you this speech that he's probably going to begin any moment now. I would like to be seeing it myself. So hopefully we'll be able to record that and see what the deal is. I remember going back right after 9/11, 2001, when George W. Bush, or George Bush Jr., the president of the United States at that time, came to the assembly and told the world, basically, that we were going on a global war. And at that time, that the enemies of America, he named four particular countries, and one of them was Iran. And here we are all these years later, 18 years later, dealing now possibly with Iran. And you wonder how this ties in, if it ties in at all. It's almost like we've seen things repeat itself before, and in politics and government and all that stuff. But you wonder if there's any connection to what we've been watching for quite some time now. You ever watch the Weather Channel? Have you ever seen the Weather Channel, where you turn it on and they're always talking about some storms? And now, because it's hurricane season, there's like five or six different storms out there. Well, just like watching the Weather Channel and some storm like Lorenzo right now that's forming off the African coast, and it looks like it's going to be a very powerful hurricane, people watch it. Or during the Great Hurricane Katrina, People watched it on the radar. And we have been watching a prophecy that we have seen on the radar, if you will, in the spirit, ready to make landfall. And we're wondering if it's going to make contact with the United States. A lot of these storms come, they're looking like they're going to be a direct hit. And for one reason or another, they slide off to the right, or, you know, they just don't have the impact. But, you know, you wonder if that's just a matter of time, if God is speaking into this. So what prophecy are we talking about? I want to read it with you one more time. I believe it is something to be prayed about. It's something to be looked at. And it comes out of Amos chapter 8. And for those of you that have been following this ministry for the last several months, we began this journey over 4 months ago talking about Amos chapter 8. Now, may I please explain something before I read this prophecy? This is one of, you know, there are prophecies from Genesis all the way to the book of Revelation. The book of Revelation is a prophecy. You know that. Five times it's called a prophecy. So there's prophecy everywhere in the Bible, and the idea of picking and choosing one and, you know, bringing it into our experience, that would not be the right thing to do. But I do believe that all prophecy that has ever been written before, that we are to learn from what has been before. We learn from our history. We learn definitely from biblical history. As a matter of fact, in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, the Apostle Paul makes it very clear that all the things that happened to Israel that the New Testament church was looking back at, we were supposed to be looking at so that we would learn by example, so that we would not follow the same pattern. For example, Sodom and Gomorrah, it was destroyed. But yet in the New Testament, we're told by Jude and Peter that any nation that follows their example would suffer the same punishment. Okay, so just because something happened in the Old Testament does not make it irrelevant. Nor do we just want to go back there and find all the negativity or just the good stuff either, you know, and present it because that's what we want. I believe that the Word of God is alive. I believe that the Holy Spirit is able to guide a man's heart or mind, or a woman's heart or mind, into the full counsel of God's Word, to look at things and view things through the biblical lens. And when we look through the biblical lens today at the world and all that is going on in it, from technology to artificial intelligence to governmental movements to the corruption, the defilement, the sin, the good stuff, the bad, when we look at the world today, particularly through this biblical lens or our country, things begin to show up. For example, Jeremiah was a prophet in the Old Testament, and he prophesied about a time, he prophesied for basically 40 years, that one day Jerusalem would be sacked, the temple would be destroyed, the people would be scattered, and a guy by the name of Nebuchadnezzar from Babylon was going to come in and do the damage. Well, after 40 years of wrestling with the nation of Israel, who was seeking alliances with Egypt, and the patriots, the politicians, and the false pastors and priests and prophets were all, you know, declaring their own thing. But there was Jeremiah saying, no, it's going to happen. If you don't repent, you're going to be destroyed. So we look back, and obviously 40 years later, Jeremiah's words came to pass. They were fulfilled. And so was it completely fulfilled, that prophecy? Well, a lot of people struggle with that, because in the prophecy, it says that by the time this judgment is accomplished upon Israel, that it would be powerful, and that Babylon, after it judged, it would be judged and never rise again, following the pattern of Scripture. And yet you go back to the book of Revelation, chapter 17 and 18, what do you find? The zenith of Babylon's power. Now, this is during the Roman Empire. So has Babylon changed her geography, her location? It's the same spirit of Babylon that existed way back in the book of Genesis with Nimrod as its king. And we know that in the last days that there will be the zenith. It's almost as though Babylon existed in Iraq. Babylon may have existed in Rome. Babylon may have existed in the days of Shinar, going all the way back. But in the last days, Babylon exists all over the world at the same time. And we see a system of Babylon and a promise of it being destroyed and never rising again. We see that happening in the end of time in the book of Revelation. So I'm going the long way around to just express to you that the prophecy that we're looking at in Amos is not something that we have picked or chosen to just put out there. We've been watching this prophecy because the Holy Spirit illuminated it. In other words, he took a flashlight and shined on this part of the Bible, the Torah, the Old Testament. And when we started reading it, it seemed to have some life to it. And it was as though God was saying, look at this. And so we started looking at it in the spring. We're talking 4 or 5 months ago now. And some very unusual things began to happen with this prophecy. And I want to share them with you in just a moment. So the light is shining. The illumination is there. God is speaking. The church or the ecclesia is to be the voice of God. And he's telling us something. Now, when we get to, and by the way, going back to Jeremiah prophesying to his generation, that prophecy was dualistic in nature, if you will, because what was written back then in his day still is going to be fulfilled in the future. Okay? So all prophecy in the Old Testament, according to the New Covenant Apostle Paul, is to be viewed and understood by the New Covenant Church so that we don't do the same things they did in order that we don't get the same judgment that they do. And so if we're going to pass laws like Sodom and Gomorrah, or we're going to promote a Sodom and Gomorrah environment, we should not expect anything less than what happened to Sodom and Gomorrah according to the New Covenant. And as a believer in Jesus, I don't put my faith or trust in what the politicians say, what the government says, any well-intended person says, or even a church that refuses to bend to the knowledge of the Word of God. My job, your job, is to look at the Word of God and declare what it says. And we are to declare it like a prophet. We are to do that collectively. I believe that with all of my heart. So we're going to look at the prophecy of Amos. And I want to show you how there are still yet possibilities of this prophecy being fulfilled in the time that we have believed or presented to the body of Christ. So in Amos chapter 8, here's where the flashlight of God shined as I'm studying scripture, and here's what it said. Thus hath the Lord God showed unto me. Okay, this is Amos talking. He's saying the Lord showed him something. And behold, a basket of summer fruit. And he said, Amos, what seest thou? And I said, a basket of summer fruit. Then said the Lord unto me, the end is come upon my people of Israel. I will not again pass by them any more. So what are those first two verses referring to, the basket of summer fruit? What is that? Well, when you go back and you study the symbolism of that, the basket of summer fruit that he was referring to was ripe fruit that would be gathered in at the end of the summer. And it was so ripe, it was rotten. You see, you're either ripe for the beauty of picking it and presenting it because it's so beautifully ripe, or it's overripe and it's rotten and good for nothing. And what God was saying to the prophet Amos is that I've come to Israel before, I've sent my prophets, I've declared my word, I've warned them, I've encouraged them to present themselves to me as a nation, something worthy and something beautiful and something good. And I would go by them again and again, but they refused to listen. So rather than being a fruitful nation in the way of righteousness, they became an overripe nation for judgment because their deeds were wicked. They were defiled. They were corrupt. Now, we look at the United States of America today and we ask ourselves, has this nation presented itself to God as a fruit-bearing tree of righteousness? And the obvious answer is absolutely not, from the Supreme Court of the United States to the government of buildings and all throughout this nation. The answer is no. From Hollywood to all types of different people groups, the answer is absolutely no. We are not presenting ourselves as a ripe nation in the realm of fruitfulness. We are a nation that God is saying, and what we're concerned about is I'm not passing by anymore means there's no more time for you to repent. There's no longer any opportunity for you to get it right. I'm now bringing you to an end. Well, when we saw that, we thought that's a very powerful statement. We're still murdering little babies. We're still shedding innocent blood. It's not a political issue. I don't care if you live in Africa, India, China, murdering a baby at any age in the womb, whether it's a fetus or full grown, is a crime against God. It is a bloody crime because life is in the crime. Life is in the blood. And when we kill it, well, we're murdering innocent blood. And God's word says that he hates the shedding of innocent blood. All right. So we've slaughtered all over with innocent blood and in so many other ways. And also our defilement and corruption through Planned Parenthood, through pornography, through homosexuality, lesbianism, transgenderism, pedophilia. You just saw that skirt lifted again. So we go over these things again and again just to remind people that we're not just the innocent nation that we always were in America and around the world that we influence, that we have a Supreme Court and a government and now laws being put into place against anybody that would speak out against what is evil and wrong according to the word of God. So if something is blasphemous, if something is an abomination, and we as the watchmen on the wall, the ecclesia, do not speak out against it and declare it to be evil and sinful, the blood is on our hands. So when we see the promotion of homosexuality and lesbianism and men marrying men, and our government promotes it and then promotes laws to condemn anybody from saying anything because they become the enemy, the bigots, they become the intolerant people that deserve death. They're the haters. Well, we are told to hate sin. If you're a new covenant believer in the New Testament, we're told to hate sin. So the point again is God's saying, I've given you opportunity to repent. And you have not repented, and I'm not going to pass by anymore. So we started looking at this like a hurricane on the Weather Channel, and it was coming towards us. And then all of a sudden in verse 3, here's what he said would happen. He said, and the songs of the temple, so it has something to do with the churches, right? The songs of the temple shall be howlings in that day, saith the Lord God. There shall be many dead bodies in every place. They shall cast them forth with silence. So that really got my attention. Many dead bodies everywhere? Well, we began to proclaim this message, and it goes deeper, and I'm going to go deeper with it in just a moment. This woke me up and shook me. So way back in the springtime, when I was reading this about the summer fruit, the understanding that I had at that moment is that by the end of summer, when the summer basket of fruit came, that there would be a judgment upon our nation that was going to create the loss of many lives. And this wasn't just an American prophecy. This was a prophecy regarding, because God's church is everywhere over the earth, that we would begin to see the world go through some kind of events, some catastrophes or something to that effect. So we began to prophesy this. Well, we watched, and then the declaration that I made is that the summer of 2019 would be known as a summer of violence. And so I watched for the summer of violence. Would there be any violence? And then on August 2nd, on a Friday, just a month and a couple of weeks ago, I shared on these radio broadcasts that I had a dream on Friday morning of a mall shooting and another shooting somewhere on the East Coast I thought was in an airport. The next day on Saturday, there was a mall shooting at a Walmart in the mall area. It said the mall shooting. Hours after having the dream and telling about it on these radio broadcasts, go back to August 2nd in our archives and you'll find the whole story. I talked about active shooters because in my dream, active shooters were at a mall. And their gunshots were going off, and I woke up, and I went back to sleep, wanted to finish the dream. I was in another part of the country, same thing, active shooters. Next day, Saturday, August 3rd, active shooters, people were killed, 22 here, 13 here, and then we saw Odessa, Texas, and then we saw the hurricane that hit the Bahamas with sustained winds of over 200 miles per hour, traveling at 1 to 2 miles per hour, devastated the Ocoa Island and other parts of the Bahamas. So we began to see with 1,300 people still missing, thousands of people. I mean, what happened in the Bahamas? Why isn't anybody showing the pictures anymore? Why isn't anybody talking about it anymore? Why are all the active shooters, the summer of violence that God revealed in a dream and spoke in his word, why isn't it happening anymore? So I began to look and say, wow, there's some evidence that this prophecy is on. I mean, this is happening. But the thing that concerns me more is going on down to verse 9. Because in verse 9, it says this, "And it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord God, that I will cause the sun to go down at noon, and I will darken the earth in the clear day." Now, I want to focus on that phrase, God saying, "I will darken the earth in the clear day." What does that mean? Well, we're going to talk about it here in just a moment. He'll darken the earth in the clear day. So I want to go back just before I get into that, because these are very powerful words. These are thoughts and ideas that people could, you know, raise the eyebrow. They can mock at them, scoff at them, ridicule them. People out there don't want to hear it. They'll consider it doom and gloom and negativity and this and that and the other thing. And yet every prophet that I've ever heard in the last 20 years saying peace and safety, there's no gloom and doom. We've had more gloom and doom in our country since 9/11/2001, particularly. So over 18 years of prophets out there saying, you know, don't listen to the gloom and doom. And there's been nothing but gloom and doom. I mean, 4 blood red moons, tetrads, solar eclipses, constellations in the stars declaring the book of Revelation, words of God. I mean, earthquakes, fires, tsunami, I mean, you name it. There has been shooting after shooting and violence after violence. And yet these other false prophets, you know, are just continuing the theme of, you know, peace and safety. And yet we've learned that what a true false prophet is when they declare peace and safety to a nation or a people that have sinned grievously against the Lord. So, you know, we don't believe in peace and safety. If you want peace, if you want safety, get born again. But don't rely on America to keep you at peace and be safe. Obviously, the safety was not there in El Paso, in Odessa, in Dayton. It wasn't there in Parkland, Florida. It wasn't there during the wildfires, the hurricanes that happened 4 back-to-backs just 2 years ago. Puerto Rico was devastated. You know, if you want to be at peace and you want safety, again, get born again. Accept Jesus Christ into your heart. This prophecy tells us, going back to verse 3, that there are going to be many dead bodies everywhere, and they're going to cast them forth with silence. You know, I was at church Sunday, and a dear friend of mine came up to me after the church service, and he said to me, "God spoke to me." And I said, "He did? What did he say?" He said, "God told me there's a plague coming." I said, "A plague? What kind of a plague?" He said, "It's something in the realm of influenza, and it's going to kill a lot of people." I said, "Influenza, some kind of a virus, some kind of a bacteria, some kind of a plague like that." He said, "Yes." And then there were reports coming out everywhere about different, you know, plagues that are mounting here and there with the mosquitoes or the leprosy going on the West Coast. And we're starting to hear these crazy things because on the entire West Coast of the United States, the homeless population problem going on there and, you know, the stuff just going on. So a release of a bacteria or a virus, something of a nature that would just start killing people. And people would start dying from a plague like this. Well, whatever it is that's going to cause many dead bodies everywhere. Well, we're starting to see it already. We've seen the radar in the Bahamas, in our nation. We've seen this. So we're not just ignoring this prophecy, but what does it mean? "I will darken the earth in the clear day." What does that mean? For those of you who have not followed this ministry, I want to share a vision that I had 29 years ago at this point. 29 years ago is a long time to have a vision, but we remember it like it was yesterday. Let me explain it to you. Because 29 years ago, I knew nothing, zero, zip, nada, about any of this kind of talk, okay? But I was taken up into space in my vision. And I remember how black it was up there. I mean, it was dark. And I'm in space, and there's nothing. And somehow my eye gazes downward, and I begin to descend. And as I'm descending, I can make out our planet. I could see planet Earth. And as I continued to descend, I make out the North American continent. I could see the little tail of Florida. And as I'm going further and further down, I begin to see that the entire North American continent is dark, but there's a little light on here, and there's a little light on there, there's a little light here, and spread out across the nation, being very dark, there were little lights on. I landed in my vision what I believe to be somewhere around Boston. And when I made landfall, the atmosphere, the spiritual atmosphere, was charcoal gray. It was as though Russia had taken over the United States. Now, we're going back 29 years in this vision. And it was a very kind of intense moment. And I heard a man walking in like the midnight moment. And as he was walking, it was as though he were walking on cobblestones, and there was an echoing to his steps. And he walked to a house where there was a light on. He knocked on the door. A man answered the door, and his body filled the frame. And he started to X-ray vision the man outside, and he looked into that man. Immediately, the man that was filling the doorway was observing and discerning that the man before him had been playing games with God. He had been part of a mega church. He was full of carnality and corruption and defilement. He never got right with God. But he knew that that man outside wanted to come in because he was terrified of what was going on outside. Mega churches had been shut down, et cetera, et cetera. And he had nowhere to go. And there was something frightful in the atmosphere that he was trying to hide from. And he wanted to come in. But then in my vision, I went into the living room of that house, and I heard the most beautiful music I had ever heard, ever. And there was a person laying on a couch. There were 7 or 8 people. There was a golden flask of oil that it was open, bringing a scent, and the people were praying over that individual, and the healing was going forth. The presence of the Holy Spirit, the presence of God in that house among 7 and 8 people was so powerful. The man at the door knew, if I let this man come in, he's going to quench the spirit, he's going to grieve the spirit, and the presence will depart. So he shut the door to the man and did not let the man come in. And then in my vision, the man went to another place where another light was on, and he tried to do the same thing. I believe that God was showing me at that time that I had no idea that the reason why the United States was darkened is that either, and now I understand, either there was an electromagnetic pulse from an enemy that was detonated 300 miles above our head, or there was some kind of nuclear device or something that would create an energy crisis, or there was a solar flare known as a CME, a coronal mass ejection from the sun that wiped out the entire grid. Well, experts today, like Vincent Pry, they're talking. These are your security experts in Congress and around the country are concerned about our electrical grid because of the demand upon it, and that it is outdated, it is antiquated, it is vulnerable to squirrels or transformers breaking down or some kind of a terrorist attack against it. Whether it be the men in California that shot at the transformer that knocked out the power or whatever, that is vulnerable. And our experts tell us if the grid goes down within the first 30 days, millions of American citizens would be dead. And I'm looking at this prophecy, and all of a sudden I'm reading that God will turn, he'll make the earth dark in the clear day. And what the clear day really says is when everybody's buzzing and happy and they're moving along their business. And what is the world doing right now? The homosexual and the left are boasting in their blasphemy against God. They're boasting in their tolerance. They're boasting in their acceptance of what God calls evil. And they're turning everything in their propaganda against the righteous and against God that God accepts and God condones and God loves. All of these things that are going on in our country that are written in the word to be blasphemous. So I'm looking at this prophecy and I'm concerned. Because the last part of it says this in verse 10, I will turn your feasts into mourning and all your songs into lamentation. And I will bring up sackcloth upon all loins and baldness upon every head. And I will make it as the mourning of an only son and the end thereof as a bitter day. What feast is he referring to? Well, the only feasts that exist after summer are the feasts of Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and Sukkot. Or on the first day of the seventh month, which will be September 30th, which is right ahead of us, September 29th, the sun sets, Rosh Hashanah, the blowing of trumpets, all the way through September 30th. That's the first day of the seventh month. The scriptures tell us that's when they blow the trumpets. The rabbis teach the 10 days of awe. And after 10 days of awe comes Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. 4 days after the Day of Atonement, the people that have gotten right with God will celebrate the Lord. And they will move on into the final feast of the year, the Feast of Tabernacles. And yet throughout the history of Israel, the Israelis would celebrate all these feasts, but their heart was not in it. And God said, I despise your feast. I hate your feast. I have nothing to do with your feast, because they were doing it out of obligation, ritual. They were doing it, and their hearts were so far from God because they committed such grievous sins. So I believe what this prophecy is saying, that the potential, this is what we're watching on the radar, all right? We're watching something on the radar. It's a real storm. There's evidence to it. I mean, it's made some impact. This summer, we've seen it. Is there a time coming? Is there a moment upon us? Will this prophecy that I believe has begun, will it extend into the greater violence of the 2020 elections? Or are we about to witness a lights out event? I will darken the day. I will darken the earth. The whole earth, I will darken it in the clear day. What is he talking about? Is there any evidence? Is there possibility of Amos chapter 8 prophecy? And then that prophecy goes on to say that God's going to bring a famine into the land. Not a famine of bread and water, but a famine of hearing the words of God. There's so much confusion right now in our world. And yet, if I take you to a plethora of New Covenant scriptures, you're going to find that these are the words of Jesus, the words of the apostles. This is the words of the apostle John on the island of Patmos when he received the revelation. Everything that the book of Amos actually says in this eighth chapter has a fulfillment in the new covenant, particularly the book of Revelation, the sixth seal being one of the great realities. So why do we say this? For drama? We know that this is not a popular message. I mean, we could talk about the glorious side of things, which I love to do, that there will be a remnant. There will be those who are preserved. There will be those who are worshiping God in a true spirit for the Feast of Tabernacles. And again, the Feast of the Lord that are referred to in this prophecy are actually feasts in the fall. They are the fall feasts. So having said all of these things, my beloved wife, Patricia Joy Xavier, is about to join me right now, and I want to welcome her to the broadcast today. We're going to change things up a little bit, I think, and I want to say to you, dear lady, watch little guy. So this is the problem with video. Until we get a radio studio, hey, anybody out there want to support a radio studio so we don't have to do it like this anymore? We'd appreciate it.
Doing well.
Yeah, but we're going to do what we can right now. Patricia, you've been listening to the broadcast. Let's get you on the air right now. How are you?
I am well today. It's very interesting what is going on. I believe we have become involved in what has been prophesied forever, and that is we're heading right toward the War of Armageddon. And it is another interesting thing, I believe, Vincent, that it is to do with Iran, because Iran is mentioned in scripture about a move that they would take for the fact of oil, actually. I'll never forget the time I read in a book, a novel. It was around 1963. Believe that or not, I read a novel that said that Iran would go to war, and they would go to war to conquer. And what would he conquer? He would conquer and desire oil. And that's what that war would be all about. And I believe the War of Armageddon is based on the war for oil among the Middle East. So we're watching and seeing fulfillment of this truth right now. This is beginning to happen. Iran has got now military power, has military weapons, and it's ready to say, I am the one who will rule, and I'll rule because of oil, and no one else is going to have it. And so therefore, I think we're seeing the momentum rise up in this area. And I think the amazing part of it all is that it's already prophesied and it's coming into fulfillment. That's how true, that's how real the scriptures are. Now, people could argue a number of things regarding this, but I believe he is the one who rides on the white horse with the four horsemen of the apocalypse. And he rides on the white horse to do war and to conquer. And I believe that white horse has to do with Iran and the Muslim faith.
Well, it certainly has some evidence going all the way back to, as we get into this, 9/11/2001, where groups like Al-Qaeda were basically riding, you know, and being successful on 9/11/2001, if people are willing to go down that path. But in either case, our friend Mark Richardson wrote a book, and it was all about the prophecy in Daniel chapter 8. And we're going to be interviewing him here on the Omega Radio Network and on Facebook and on YouTube. Again, what we have been doing, Patricia and I, and, you know, a lot of people, we're just looking at the Word of God. We know it's a time of judgment. And for those of you who don't understand the word judgment, three times in the New Testament, all it is it's a crisis that produces a separation. And God uses judgment to separate what is right from what is wrong. You know, if there's a problem going on in your family, he'll shake it. He'll bring a crisis in order to separate what is wrong in the family so that the people can be brought back together for good. In other words, if there is a crisis in our nation, God is usually allowing the crises to separate the nation from the sin that it's committing. So having said that, Patricia Joy, I'm sorry we have to keep spinning this thing around, but go ahead and speak into that, whatever your heart may be.
Well, my heart is desiring the power of the Holy Spirit to move within the church and to begin to understand what time it is and begin to rise up and move as a mighty army. We are the true army. There's going to be a crescendo of war, but we are the true army of God. And why do I say that? Because Jesus Christ had already conquered the world, the flesh, and the devil. And that's what this is all about. It's about man's flesh. It's about the world and the desires of the world. And it's about demonic presence being unleashed in the earth today. And the conquering has been done. But we, as the body of Christ, must rise up and be that army he called us to be. I am asking each one of you to really understand warfare, spiritual warfare, for your own life first, that you can conquer those things of the flesh and the devil and the world that has been a problem to you, that you have had to deal with. And then the next, to learn how to stand as the army of God together without having to use one weapon of physical warfare, but the weapons are spiritual for the pulling down of strongholds. Learn how to do this. And this is going to be the strength we have in these days to go through. It's all based on love, folks. It really is.
All right. So shifting back once again, we had something happen on Sunday during our church service. We received somewhat of a vision, if you will, while we were in worship. And it was really a powerful, powerful vision. And it was actually witnessed. Somebody else had the same exact vision. And it was about these warriors that were standing on top of a mountain, and the wind was blowing. And as the wind was blowing, you could see the banners of this army. They were waving in the wind, and they were silent, and they had the most bold bronze faces. They were so intense. They didn't flinch. They didn't budge. they were standing. And I thought about the 144,000 overcomers that stand on Mount Zion with the Lamb, with the Lord Jesus Christ, and how as they're standing in that high place and that governmental authority, it just ready to go to execute. And yet everything going on down the mountain, the battle that was waging, the battle that's going on, what happens, what I believe Patricia's talking about, is when events happen, when a 9/11 event happens, when a school shooting happens, you go back to El Paso, Texas, for example, the mall shooting, it does something to the environment. It causes spiritual demonic forces to come and kind of, they love that, okay? They love that kind of stuff. And the demonic becomes very strong there. The police get involved. The FBI gets involved. People are involved. And it builds an environment that is demonic. And if your spirit is not strong, if your spirit is not ready, you can actually get into the fear that is being promoted there. You could get into the need to take things over and become a survivalist in your flesh, rather than walking in the spirit. So I believe, Patricia, what you're saying about walking in the spirit is key, especially in the aftermath of any event that may be coming. Go ahead.
We do not fight against flesh and blood. We must understand that that is a truism in God's word. And we must understand and also learn how to overcome the things of this earth. Fear is crippling. There is nothing more devastating to a human life, to an individual, than fear. And you know, the Bible tells us clearly that Jesus Christ, God Almighty, did not give us a spirit of fear, but love, power, and a sound mind. That sound mind must stand erect in the days we're in. We are now beginning the fulfillment of prophecy. 2020 is the open door where it all takes place, and it will start to grow in greater strength, greater destruction, and we must know how to stand without being afraid. And we have been called for a time such as this. You and I wouldn't be here today if it weren't that God had ordained it, and he ordained it because he knew who you are. He knows who I am. We are beginning to open our eyes to see the power that has been granted to us and the authority through Jesus Christ, God Almighty, that we have not ever known before, truly and honestly, except for some prophets and some apostles and some disciples through the last 2,000 years. Now the Lord is saying, learn of me, and you will see great and mighty things accomplished, and you will stand in these last days, and I will keep you, and you will not have to be destroyed.
Amen. Again, words of encouragement and wisdom. So how does fear work? You mentioned that fear was very powerful. In Luke chapter 21, verse 25, and there shall be signs in the sun, in the moon, and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth. So how powerful is fear? Fear has the obvious power to cause men's hearts to melt because they're not ready. They're not prepared. Can you imagine a season or a diet of feel good ice cream, cotton candy, cupcakes, ding-dongs, you're eventually going to get sick. Sometime, what it's going to do is break down your immune system, right? If you don't have good diet, how could you stand when the virus comes, when the attack comes against your body? You have to be prepared. You have to build up. And you and I are told to build up our most holy faith, praying in the Spirit always, knowing that what we see going on in the world are part of the signs of the times. The nations of the earth in perplexity, a nation divided like America, a house divided cannot stand. You got to wake up to the reality of what time it is. Nations around the world. We have people right now we're connecting with on Messenger by the multiplied hundreds that are from India, Pakistan, Africa. You know, they're living a different lifestyle than most of us Americans are. most of us Americans here, we have nice homes, we have nice cars, we have, you know, money in the bank or money in our pockets. You know, we have food on our table. A lot of people don't around the world. They look at us and say, why are you Americans messing things up for yourselves? Why are you guys putting yourself vulnerable? What, do you want to become like us? And yet all these nations, they say, no, we want to be like you Americans. We want to be part of your, you know, rock star status. We want to be part of your great big buildings and your beautiful arenas. And we want to see your success and your money and your clothes and your jewelry. And, you know, you, Babylon, are great. Dangerous time. Dangerous time, Patricia Joy. So, again, we saw the sun, moon, and stars. We saw constellations. We saw blood red moons. We saw solar eclipses. And that's what this prophecy that Jesus spoke in the last days, they would be there to kind of encourage us where we are. Go ahead.
Well, we also have scripture, Matthew 24, that is speaking exactly as to what is happening right now. The word says that there will be wars and rumors of wars, but the end will not yet come. But what it is a foretaste of what will be. We're hearing about wars and rumors of wars. Will it be? Will it not be? But that is exactly what the Bible said would happen. But we know that there will be a crescendo, and then there will be Ezekiel 38 that will tell about the great Armageddon war. We're heading toward that. We're rushing toward that. We're going to see a lot happen in the next year coming, 2020. That's why I would suggest that you come to the Feast of Tabernacles and come into agreement in peace and joy and love for what God will do. I'm telling you, in the Church of Philadelphia, it is clear that the Lord says that he will protect those who he is happy with. And he's happy with those that will do his feast, that will come together in love, that will get to know one another, empower one another for the times we're in, and have a great time of celebration and rejoicing for what's to be, because God will take care of us, according to the Philadelphian church, in that day.
And Patricia, how much preparation has to go on with the people right now? I mean, I want to make a statement. I'm just kind of sensing this in the spirit, and I hope it comes across properly. We don't know how long we're going to do Facebook. We don't know how long we're going to do YouTube. We don't know, you know, we're doing this because we're told that the platform to get the word out needed to be there. We're sharing things. We're launching out a little bit deeper. For what purpose? We know the kingdom of God is very real. We know that the king is very real. We love Jesus Christ. We love the gospel. We love the good news. We love our salvation. We love that we're justified by faith and by the blood of the Lamb. We are sanctified by the Holy Spirit through our processing going through this life. We know we're going to glorification. We know our names are written in the Lamb's book of life. We have all those promises, and we enjoy them, and we thank God for them. But we also know that there is a very active force in this earth to steal, kill, and destroy. And we are not a people that believe that just because you say, or I say, I believe in Jesus Christ, that we're saved. I mean, we could say it, but it has to come from the heart. And if it comes from the heart, then we follow the master. We follow Jesus. We do not believe in once saved, always saved. We believe that life is a journey with Jesus, whether the vapor be longer or shorter. That is our life. It is a vapor. And that we need to continue to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. And we give these warnings because so many people in the church believe that we don't have to worry about these things as Christians because there's going to be a pre-tribulational rapture. And we have studied that out for a long, long time and find zero evidence of a pre-tribulational rapture to keep the church from going through hard times. And then we just look back in history. The church has never been exempt from going through hard times. There have been great persecutions against the ecclesia, against the Church of Jesus Christ. So we don't believe that there's going to be a disappearing act before the bad stuff really comes. But we do know that when the bad stuff really does come, there's going to be a falling away, that there are going to be many people that their love is going to wax cold. They're going to betray one another, hate one another. There's going to be a great falling away. Why? Because they're not prepared. So preparation is key to everything. How do I prepare for the loss of all things around me? How do I prepare for violence? How do I prepare for governmental takeover, martial law? How do I prepare for lights out? How do I prepare spirit, soul, and body? You have to be prepared in your spirit. You definitely have to be prepared in your soul, because if you're not, your emotions are going to take over. And you definitely need to be prepared in your bodily life. You need to have provision. I believe third world countries are probably going to survive better than most of Americans. But America is the target. You need to know that. They're not targeting some little country in the Middle East. That is not the target. The target of this moment of crises is the United States of America. It really is. And the enemies of this nation, I believe, have grown in more power since our nation has sinned grossly before the Lord. What kind of power? All God has to do is employ a nation to come and do its dirty work. I mean, to come and do what they want. Like the Assyrians in the days of Israel, when the prophet Isaiah told them that God's anger was going to be realized in a people group called the Assyrians, and his wrath was going to be poured out by the weapons that they would employ against Israel. And yet the Assyrians didn't know it was God. They thought it was them. There are enemies and adversaries in the United States right now that could pull off the greatest Holocaust that this country has ever faced. And if you look at the news, if you listen to what's being said out there, you'll never get that. You look through the scriptures, it becomes abundantly clear.
You know, I want to read this because this is, I believe, an important aspect of living and life and the times we're in. And the times we're in are so unbelievable. Could you believe we're here now in the manner and way in which everything is unfolding? Have you ever believed that the things we're watching and seeing on social media would have ever taken place as you were growing up? No, this is a time like no other. That's why Christ's message to the Philadelphian church needs to be spoken more often. If you want to go through this time successful in the hand of God with his protection, because he does not criticize the church of Philadelphia. There are no conditions that are wrong in the Church of Philadelphia. It is based on love, and it is based on working together. And this is a call to you and to I, if we want to be that loving church. And I know, folks, that when there is no criticism, nothing said as it was about the other churches, the other six churches in the book of Revelation, God had a complaint about each and every one except the church in Philadelphia. And there would be very strong rebukes, and to the point of not receiving any life for eternity. So please, look to what I'm speaking of and cause your heart to love. If you haven't asked the Lord to shed his love abroad on your heart so you could be part of that church, and come and hear about it at the Feast of Tabernacles.
Amen. The glorious feast for the remnant, the overcomers. That's going to be an awesome time. Patricia, people today, maybe someone is out there right now and they're saying, you know, this is a lot to handle, and how should I live? Prepare, don't be afraid, get everything intact, and then go live an abundant life. We have been advocating that for years. We're not telling people to go run and hide in a cave, but if you could find a cave so that when that day comes and you have it stored with food, great. We're not telling people to give up on life. You know, we just had an event here a couple of weeks ago where the lights went out. We were all going about our business, living our lives. And then when that event happened where the power went out, we all had to adjust, and it changed. And as long as we're still breathing, living at the time of the calamities that come upon this earth, whether it's a shooting or whatever it is, fires in California, whatever, have a plan. Have a plan. And I guarantee you, if you have a plan, like having a 3-day backpack in the trunk of your car, a bug out bag, duplications of your identities, whatever. If you have a plan, a place to go, so when things happen and you just can't go back to your home like normal, if you've already discovered that, utilize that. Be wise. Enjoy your preparations. For you and I, the signs of the times are declaring some pretty harsh things to come, but they are also a declaration of the coming of the King, that Jesus Christ will return to this earth just like he promised he would. And the signs of the times, Israel becoming a nation, artificial intelligence, technology today, all of these things are a powerful witness that we are living potentially in the days of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, which means some of us are going to be alive and remaining when he returns. You want to be alive and remaining. Preparation does not necessitate a spirit of fear and panic. No, people are afraid and panic when they're not prepared. So get prepared. Prepare your spirit, not in denial of what's coming, but understanding that there are scriptures and promises and passages that you could immerse yourself with, like, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Psalm 91. There are scriptures of protection everywhere. You want good success in your life? You want to go and do something to impact the kingdom, win souls? You want to make a movie, a Christian movie that will win souls? I mean, what is it you are called to do? Well, do it with all your might. Just get prepared for what you know eventually is going to come. Prepare and live. Don't be in denial and don't be afraid. What other information for today's broadcast can we share with people in that aspect, Patricia?
Well, one thing I want to bring forth, and I have so many times, but it is so powerful and so wonderful. Please take hold. The scripture again tells us that he did not give us a spirit of fear, but he gave us love, power, and a sound mind. If you believe, this is for you. He has given that to us. Receive it. Don't get involved with emotional fear. It is there to cripple you. Fear is not faith, and that which is not faith is sin. So if you're operating in fear, folks, you're operating in sin, and you cannot see God in that manner. You won't understand. You won't know the times we're in. You will be muddled by darkness, and the enemy will take an advantage like you would not believe. Body of Christ, rise up. Our time is now.
Well, amen. It is now. And what we want to do, I want to give you some information. If you're out there today, you're listening, here's a little bit of information about what we are doing in Northwest Arkansas. Number one, October 13th, we are beginning an 8-day celebration of the Feast of Tabernacles. I spoke with Daniel Seckham yesterday. He'll be joining me on the air tomorrow. And we want to tell you how you could be able to listen to him if you're watching on Facebook or YouTube. Daniel Seckham will be joining us. We are inviting him to come and speak. It's settled. What we need to do is raise some funds for his airline ticket from Australia. So if you're interested in supporting the ministry in preparation for the Feast of Tabernacles, that would be awesome. We know God is going to provide. October 13th is a Sunday. We'll be here for an entire week from Sunday to Sunday, celebrating, the Feast of Tabernacles, celebrating every day, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, up on our property where we have a tent, and every afternoon we'll have barbecues and food displays. Awesome. A lot of good speakers, a lot of time to fellowship and friendship with people. And then every evening we will be over at the Ministry Center in Bella Vista. Now, one of the things you can do to find out who's speaking at this feast, go to our website. And here it is. It's www.nwmglobal. NWM stands for New Wine Ministry. nwmglobal.org. One more time, just go to this website, nwmglobal.org, nwmglobal.org, and there's a Feast of Tabernacles tab. Click on that. You'll be able to read a little bit of what we presented there, and you'll see a list of speakers and times and places. There are hotels everywhere in Northwest Arkansas. If you'd like to come, make sure you call in advance, get your hotel right now, and we'll be looking forward to seeing you along the way. We're going to continue to do our best here on the YouTube and Facebook. We're down to 15 seconds. Patricia, final word before we go.
I just learned that there was a very strong earthquake in Pakistan. and there are many that are injured. Over 300 have been injured and many that are killed. Now you see, body of Christ, this is what the understanding of the last days are all about.
Everywhere.
These things are happening everywhere. We're there. Rise up.
Amen.
And know who you are in Christ Jesus.
Amen. Okay, we've just run out of time. Goodbye, everybody. Shalom. We'll see you tomorrow, Lord willing, right here on The Watchman.